Again, we'll be looking at 1 John. We've been looking at verses 13 and 14 of chapter 2, and also chapter 5, which speaks of overcoming the wicked one and overcoming the world. We see the life of a child of God should be a life of victory. It should not be a life of defeat, but again, Christ has already won the victory. It's our privilege, it's our opportunity to continue to live in that victory. And again, speaking of victory, that means there are enemies that we are victorious over. We've looked at Satan, we've looked at the world, and the third one is one that we deal with, not that we don't deal with the others every day, but one that we deal with every single day, and that is our own sin or our own sinful flesh. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, again, I believe that the very moment one savingly believes upon Jesus Christ, they are delivered from sin, has a master. Matthew 1, verse 21 teaches us that salvation is a salvation from sin, not simply a salvation from hell, but a salvation from sin. That doesn't mean, of course, that we never sin again, but it does mean that we do not have to live the rest of our lives with sin being our master. We don't have to live serving sin. So sin, once we're saved, sin is to no longer have dominion, no longer to have power, no longer to have sway over us. And this is taught very plainly, beginning with verse 10 in Romans chapter 6. It says, "For in that he died," speaking of Christ, "he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." And there's our victory, the death and the life of Jesus Christ. "Likewise," that is, as Christ died and lives, "reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." So consider yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. "Let not," again, the word "let" shows it's something that we allow to happen. We are not to allow sin to reign in our mortal body. Now, the sinful flesh, of course, is in our mortal body, but we are not to allow that sinful flesh to reign or to rule in our lives. And here's what it means for sin to reign in our mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. When we obey the dictates of the flesh, then sin is reigning in our body. And we don't have to live that way. There isn't a child of God that has to live following the dictates of the flesh. We don't have to live that way. So let not sin reign in your mortal body. The way you accomplish this is, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That is, you do not yield to sin. You do not give way to sin. You do not yield to sinful, the lust of the flesh. You do not give way to the lust of the flesh. And this is how you keep sin under, as far as a reigning power in your life. On the other hand, instead of yielding to the flesh, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin is not to have dominion over us, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Question being asked based upon the last statement, that we are not under the law, but under grace? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now, take those three words, shall we sin, make that a question. And then the answer to that is the last two words of verse 15, God forbid. That's always the answer. Shall we sin? God forbid. God forbid. We're not to yield to sin. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin, which leads unto death, or of obedience, which leads unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, before we were saved, the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. All of this teaches us that sin is not to have dominion over us. We are to live victoriously over sin. It doesn't mean that we never sin, but it does mean that when we do sin, we take care of that. We do not allow sin to get in a position in our life where it begins to control us, where it begins to have reign and begins to have sway in our lives. And every child of God can live that way, can live victorious over sin. In other words, we have to bring into subjection our sinful flesh. We have to bring into subjection our sinful flesh to the new nature, Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's discipline of the flesh. I bring my body into subjection. Then note, lest, again, the word lest indicates a danger. If you do not bring your body into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, you're going to fail. If you feed the flesh, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. If you allow the flesh to have sway in your life, you are going to fall. You are going to come short of what God has for you. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify, that is, put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he mentions the fruit of the flesh. We're to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Again, Paul said, I die daily. And what he was talking about was that he mortifies the deeds of the flesh. We're to cut off all occasion to sin. We're not to feed the flesh. We're not to make provision for the flesh. We do that by mortifying the deeds of the flesh, and we do that by putting on the new man. In other words, the old man is not to be in control, but the new man, Jesus Christ, is to be in control. And we see that in Colossians 3, verses 12 through verse 14. So every child of God can live victorious over Satan, over the world, and over sin. But what are the instruments that the Lord uses that we can have victory? Well, one of the things he uses, notice if we go back to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And then notice, and the word of God abideth in you. Ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Because ye are strong, you can overcome the wicked one. But what is it that gives them their strength? It is the word of God abideth in you. You're strong, and the word of God abideth in you. So there is a strength that allows us to have victory. There is a strength that allows us to overcome the wicked one. And this strength is connected to the word of God. There is a connection between the word of God and this strength. And this, we see that the word of God has to have a place in us, and it has to have a continual place. Again, the word abideth shows that it's something that continues. So the word of God abideth in you, and as a result of the word of God abiding in you, ye have overcome the wicked one. So it takes strength to overcome. And strength is a result of the word of God abiding within us. It's the word of God. It's you and I having a continuous experience of the word of God in our hearts. That is, we read it, we study it, we make sure that the word of God finds an inward lodging, and that gives us strength to overcome. And this is what the psalmist talked about in Psalm 119. Again, you give the word of God a place in your heart, and you cleanse your life. Those two things work together. So that there's a strength. There is a strength connected with the word of God. This strength also is a result of seeking the Lord. When we seek the Lord, that gives us strength. And strength, of course, again, results in overcoming the wicked one. Notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll read verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. You cannot separate the two. The Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So we find strength in seeking the Lord. This is part of mortifying the flesh. This is part of putting on the new man. And that is that we begin every day by seeking the Lord. We begin every day by seeking the strength of the Lord. Don't just wait until you're in a battle to seek the strength. Seek the strength before the battle comes. And then, of course, you have the strength when the battle comes. You're ready. And so seek the Lord's strength. And that strength helps us to overcome the wicked one. This strength comes from knowing God. This strength comes from drawing from God. Notice in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3. Verse 10, that I may know him, and then notice what's connected with knowing him, and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There is strength in knowing God. There is strength in drawing from God. And that strength, again, helps us to overcome the wicked one. There is also strength in just simply waiting upon the Lord. Notice in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And verse 14. Psalm 27. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then it's repeated. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait for God's direction. Wait on the Lord. Don't move until God tells you to move. And then when God tells you to move, you don't hesitate. You move. But wait on the Lord. There is strength in waiting upon God. Isaiah chapter 40. And again, it's depending a lot depending on your personality. It's not an easy thing to wait upon the Lord. But in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And again, it's that strength that enables us to overcome. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. There is amazing strength to be found in simply waiting upon God. Do not allow individuals to push you to act when it's not time to act. You just wait upon the Lord. There is strength also in doing the will of God. Once you know what God wants you to do, you do it. And when you do that, there's strength to be had there. And again, it's that strength that we use to overcome. Notice in Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. And how is it that they sell, how is it that the angels excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word? There is strength in doing the commandments of God. There is strength in hearkening, or strength in listening to what God has to say. And again, this is not just some strength that you muster up. This is a strength that comes as a result of waiting upon God, a result of seeking God, a result of doing God's will, a result of listening to what God says. There's strength in these things. So we know that we have to be strong, and what's wonderful is God tells us how we can get that strength. And again, it's that strength that we use to overcome. Another thing that the Lord uses in overcoming is simply our new birth. In 1 John 5, in verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So our new birth is one of the instruments that God uses in overcoming. Now what that tells me is that we do not overcome by making an effort through the flesh. If we're going to overcome, it has to come from the new nature. It has to come from the spiritual man. So regeneration, or the new birth, introduces us, of course, to the grace of God, and it allies us with God the Father. And there is victory. There is victory in the new birth, and there is victory in living in that realm. That is, there is victory in living in the new nature rather than the old nature. In other words, there's victory in walking in the spirit rather than walking in the flesh. That's how we overcome. You'll never overcome walking in the flesh. You'll only overcome walking in the spirit. You'll never overcome by following the dictates of the flesh. You'll only overcome by following the dictates of the new nature. Again, the new nature within us is simply Jesus Christ dwelling in us. That's the best way to describe the new nature. It's simply Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Jesus Christ does not sin. Our new nature does not sin. Jesus Christ has no desire to sin. Our new nature has no desire to sin. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. So it is with our new nature. So if we live under the dictates of the new nature, then we overcome. And we live a life of victory. And that's why, again, it's key that we begin every day getting ourselves following the dictates of the new man rather than the old man. And if you just let it go and do nothing, if you get up in the morning and you don't do anything about your spiritual condition, you will follow the flesh rather than the new man. You have to put off the old man, you have to put on the new man. And that's not just something you do once a day. It's something we do continually throughout the day. Every time we see the flesh begin to bubble up in our life, we have to put it under. It's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle. Another thing the Lord uses is faith. Notice again in 1 John 5, in verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith overcomes. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth, that's faith. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's faith, and it's believing something concerning Jesus Christ. In other words, the way we overcome is to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We overcome by seeing Jesus Christ. Faith is one of the instruments that God uses. So we need faith. The apostles prayed to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. We need to constantly pray that prayer, that the Lord would increase our faith. Why? Because there's strength in faith. There's victory in faith. Again, you read Hebrews chapter 11, and you read over and over and over again, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith. We see men accomplish great things by faith. They enjoyed victory by faith. You cannot walk by sight and not become defeated. If you walk through this world by sight without faith, you're going to live a defeated life. If you get your eyes strictly on this world, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be defeated. You have to get beyond this world. If you're going to have victory, you've got to get your mind beyond this world. You've got to get your eyesight beyond this world. That takes faith. It's not something, well, starting tomorrow, I'm going to do that. It's not that easy. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just a determination. So in closing on these verses, there are many circumstances and difficulties in life, and the child of God can have victory over every single one of them. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, Paul mentioned how that we are more than conquerors through Christ. And some of the things that he mentioned were tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. And then he goes on to say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ. So we can have victory over all these things, but it's in Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. So we're never to return to a life of defeat. We're not to return to a life of bondage. Notice in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it's stand fast. That those two words imply that there's going to be opposition. Those two words imply that there's other forces working against us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again. Don't go back. Don't go back to your lost life. Don't go back to that manner of living. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So every child of God, every single one of us that are saved, we can live a life of victory. And if we're not doing that, that's our fault. That's no one else's fault. That is our fault. If we are living a life of defeat, it's not because we have more enemies than anyone else and all the forces are against us and they're not against someone else. That's not it at all. It's our fault if we don't have victory. we can enjoy the victory that Christ has given us. He's given us the victory. The question is, are we living in that victory, or are we living a life of defeat? What a difference it makes to live a life of victory. And that is our privilege to do so. Let's look to the Lord.